About 20,000 mourners gathered outside the tomb of former Pakistani Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto today to pay their last respects. It's the official end of mourning for the woman assassinated 40 days ago.
And now Bhutto's husband, Asif Ali Zardari, begins his campaign for parliament as the new head of the Pakistan People's Party. Those elections, originally scheduled for January 8th, are expected to happen in a little less than 2 weeks from now on February 18th. Joining us now to give us the latest on the situation in Pakistan is Kamal Siddiqui, editor of Reporting with the News International. He's in Karachi, Pakistan. Hi, Kamal.
Hi, hello.
Thank you for being with us this morning. I want to start with some news this week about Benazir Bhutto's political will. This was a one-page handwritten letter that she had written last October, just a few days before she returned to Pakistan after her self-imposed exile of 12 years. She clearly knew she was risking her life and felt it necessary to articulate her wishes for the political future of Pakistan. Why did the party decide to make this public?
The official explanation is that the political will or the will of Ms. Bhutto was made public after the 40 days of mourning, which ended today. And that is why the party decided. But the unofficial explanation is also the fact that there are lots of questions about the fact that Ms. Bhutto handed over the reins of the party to her husband. And therefore, there was lots of talk about whether this was the right thing to do and whether, in fact, such a will existed.
And how is her husband, Asif Ali Zardari, how is he viewed by the political party, by the PPP?
Well, obviously, he's seen more as a caretaker leader who is in place till the Ms. Bhutto's son takes power. So in that sense, he's seen as a temporary arrangement. But at the same time, there are fears that he may be trying to make his position more permanent.
He has been quite vocal and critical of Musharraf's government. Just this last week on Tuesday, he wrote an op-ed in the LA Times accusing Musharraf of failing to properly investigate Benazir Bhutto's death. There is news today that authorities have now arrested two more suspects linked to Bhutto's assassination. Kamal, what else do you know about the investigation?
Well, today the Scotland Yard team that was appointed by General Musharraf to investigate the murder is back in Pakistan and is expected to give its findings shortly. But the political party of Ms. Bhutto has been demanding, and this is Mr. Zardari's most basic demand, that a UN commission be appointed, to which the government has not agreed.
And why not?
Well, the government says that no such precedence exists. There's no third country involved, and therefore UN commissions only come in places where a third country is involved, as in the case in Lebanon, where Syria was believed to be involved.
Asif Ali Zardari has contended that because the investigation, in his view, hasn't gone as in-depth as it should, that these are not proper conditions in which to hold a national election. Is that something the rest of the party feels? And indeed, is that something that's held by most Pakistanis at large? Do people think that the country is ready for these elections?
Well, honestly speaking, most Pakistanis are fearful of the election. But at the same time, it's a situation where you're caught between the devil and the deep blue sea. Because if we don't have elections, we will not have a new government that is more representative. And at the same time, moving towards election, we see more violence taking place as militants are trying to sabotage it. So we're stuck in between and hoping for the best.
What are the odds, Kamal, as you've been able to gauge things these days in recent weeks, all the jockeying for political positions among the parties, what are the odds that Musharraf will retain power after these elections?
Well, that is the only thing that's for certain, that Musharraf will remain the president and he will remain the powerful president. The odds, he has been re-elected. He was re-elected in November last year. Now, who becomes prime minister is more of a question. What kind of coalition agreement comes into place? That is what we're looking at.
But I guess the better question then is, what are the odds of him securing an alliance that will secure his power in that prime ministerial position, that one of his allies would be appointed to that?
I think that is what the odds are in favor of somebody chosen by President Musharraf coming to power. And that is something that the opposition parties are talking about in alleging that there's going to be massive rigging in the elections. And that is what we fear as well.
A few weeks ago, Musharraf traveled to Europe. He met with European leaders in an effort to shore up his reputation, I suppose, and try to repair the damage done after the state of emergency. What came out of that trip?
Well, there is a lot of talk about the West supporting the electoral process, but at the same time, there are lots of questions being asked about the fairness of the process. And in one sense, more questions were left unanswered when Musharraf came back in terms of what arrangements are in place to ensure the fairness of the elections.
And have international observers, international election observers, have they said that they will indeed be monitoring these elections?
We are having more than 100 election observers in place in Pakistan, but a lot of the political parties are already saying that the rigging that was supposed to take place has already done so with the transfer of key officials and also other administrative decisions that have been taken which will support candidates that are pro-government.
All of this doesn't sound very positive, Kamal. If you're saying that people already believe that there's rigging that has taken place, what are the odds that these elections would be seen as legitimate?
Well, what I was saying was that opposition parties have alleged people are hopeful that on come election day, things will not be as bad as possible. And at the same time, Pakistanis see these elections as one way for things to settle down and for the country to move ahead.
And lastly, I want to check back with you. You have been someone we've touched base with several times as the crisis in Pakistan has unfolded. You yourself, your news organization was shut down. You were put in prison during the state of emergency. What is the status for media and journalists, reporters like yourself right now after the state of emergency was repealed?
There have been some restrictions have been in some ways softened, but at the same time, we are constantly being warned of how to report and what to write about. And we are also, there are expectations from the people for us to write more candid stuff. So we, again, are also caught in between, but we're trying to do the best we can under the circumstances.
Kamal Siddiqui is the editor of Reporting with the News International in Karachi, Pakistan. He spoke with us this morning from Karachi. Thanks very much, Kamal.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Coming up on the Bryant Park Project, we'll talk about a 68-year-old ESPN vet who thought he was going to lose his voice.
Oh, yeah.
We'll find out what happened to Dick Vitale. We'll also take a look at what happened to the room, or at least the contents of the room, where John F. Kennedy Jr. was assassinated. And the band Hot Chip. Put on your dancing shoes. It's the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.